Good morning. Should we just pray together as we kick off? Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we are your people and we delight in hearing your voice. We know that we need your teaching and your words to us fresh so often in our lives. We know that we're inclined to go off course. We know that we need your encouragement. We need your direction. We need your comfort. Lord, so give us ears to hear your truth this morning. Wherever we're at, we pray, Lord God, that you would give us ears to hear your voice and build us up as your church today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm Andy, and I'm going to be leading us in a few minutes now to look through the next passage in a series that we're going through. But first up, let's see if this comes on. The Apprentice. Now, apprenticeships are big things these days. More and more government money seems to be going into apprenticeships. And I don't actually mean the Alan Sugar-style apprentice for the kind of future big business leader of the future, but more opportunities to learn on the job, whatever your trade may be. For many careers, there's been a massive swing back towards the best way of learning being to get involved, and at the same time to be mentored by someone who's been there before and knows what they're doing. Now, we're looking this morning at a letter in the Bible written by the mentor, that's Paul, to his apprentice, Timothy. Many years previously, Paul travelled to a place called Lystra, where he shared the good news about Jesus, and three generations of the same family came to faith. The youngest was the grandson, Timothy, who at that time was probably a teenager. And he became Paul's ministry companion, his apprentice. So Paul and Timothy then travelled together for the next 15 years or so around what is now southeastern Europe and Turkey. Paul also sent Timothy on a couple of special trips to share messages of encouragement and to take gifts to some of the early churches. But when Paul is writing now, Paul and Timothy are apart. Paul has been imprisoned, and he's probably fearing for his life. Nero, the Roman emperor at the time, is bent on destroying the church. So Christians are being rounded up and killed throughout the empire. Many are deserting the Christian faith or compromising to fit in better with those around them. Heresies, by which I mean beliefs which aren't consistent with the gospel truth, are on the increase. So Paul has a message for his apprentice. Paul is saying to Timothy, it's time to step up. I'm imprisoned. I'm probably about to die. So who is going to battle for the truth of the good news of Jesus? We know how much Paul values Timothy. His many letters frequently compliment Timothy on his faithful service. Paul calls Timothy his son, so the bond between them is deep. But we also know that Timothy isn't perfect. He's relatively young for leadership. He's probably in his early 30s by now. He's a bit sickly. He's prone to getting on well. And he's shy. He's probably an introvert by character. So if Timothy is going to step up and boldly defend the gospel and ensure the continuity of the Christian message, he's going to need some encouragement. And that's what this letter is all about. That's what Paul is trying to achieve through this letter to Timothy, to give him that boost, that encouragement, and to remind him of what his ministry is all about. So we're going to read it now. It's on page 1130, if you want to look it up. Or there it is on the screen behind. So it's to Timothy. In other words, that's the second letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. And it's chapter 2, and we're going to be reading from verse 1. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. And here's Malcolm. Thank
you. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. Rather, they try to please their commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying: if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself.
Fantastic. Thanks, Malcolm. Oops. So Paul has two key messages for Timothy, and both, I think, are absolutely relevant for us today. Be strong and endure. Remember and entrust. Both are shared as mentor to apprentice, but both are also shared by Paul to Timothy quite pastorally, almost like a father to a son. Now, there isn't, I don't think, the same culture today of hereditary businesses as there perhaps once was. You know, it used to be that you'd own your business and you'd pass it on to your child, who'd carry on running it, they'd pass it on to their child, and so on. Maybe the industry that's most like that today is still farming, where the estate might get passed on. So I think there's a parallel here, if you like, between Paul and Timothy, in that Paul is concerned about the continuity of the work for which he's passionately devoted his life. He has been committed to sharing the gospel and upholding the truth of the gospel, and he is passionate about seeing that continue with Timothy. But he's also concerned for the welfare of the individual he's writing to, a man that he knows and loves deeply. So let's look at these two themes in turn. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong and endure. You will suffer for being a Christian, but don't give up. But this is not a purely stoical, human strength resolution. Yes, Paul's calling us to be strong, but to be strong in the grace of Jesus, our Saviour. So what does that mean? Well, in the bits I've highlighted there and throughout this letter, Paul repeatedly uses the title Christ whenever he refers to Jesus. It comes 4 times in today's passage. It was there 5 times last week, if you noticed it. Paul uses it more often in this letter to Timothy than anywhere else. Why is that? Well, I think it's because Paul has front and center in his mind throughout this letter what Jesus has achieved. The title Christ means the anointed one or the chosen one, but it's a Greek translation of the Hebrew word Messiah. The Messiah was promised by God to save his people. Right at the start of the letter, chapter 1, verse 1, Paul writes, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus." So as Paul sits enchained in a Roman prison, expecting death, he is focused on the saving work of Jesus and the promise of eternal life. We saw last week that Christ Jesus has destroyed death and brought life and immortality. So Paul writes here, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He's calling Timothy to be strong in this truth of God's salvation. Endure suffering, even to death, knowing that Jesus has given you eternal life. Now, Paul gives us three metaphors to amplify his point: the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer. Easy props. So first, the soldier. Not that you'd get very far fighting with that. Suffer like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Oops, sorry, let's go back. There we are. Suffer like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Now, soldiers are tough people, aren't they? They take hardship, risk, and suffering as a matter of course. So that's the metaphor Paul is giving us. I think it was the case in Paul's day for many Christians too. Many were suffering to the point of death for their faith. Many around the world are in the same situation today. Our experience for most of us will probably be quite different, but suffering for being a Christian can take many forms. When you enroll as a soldier, you're at the beck and call of your commanding officer. You leave your home and your domestic affairs behind to focus solely on the battle at hand. If you don't, you're not going to be much use as a soldier. You have to be steadfastly loyal to your commanding officer, and you need to be single-minded to serve whatever the cost. Now, I think the principle here has been applied to ministers in the church in many different ways for a long time. Catholic priests don't generally marry, and many ministers in the church, in different denominations of the church, don't own any property. The idea is to be free from worldly entanglements to focus on God's work. Now, we know that worked for Jesus, it worked for Paul, and I'm sure it's worked for many since. It doesn't always work, but I'd say that's probably more about human failing than the principle about being free to focus on your labor for God. I also wonder, though, if that principle of steadfast loyalty and single-minded service can be applied to us, to all Christians, not just those in full-time vocational ministry. We're all called to focus above all things on pleasing our Lord and to be prepared for spiritual battle. We're all called to travel lightly through this world, not getting too caught up with the trappings of this life, as we look to more vital treasure in heaven. We all need that single-minded devotion and commitment of the soldier. So, what about the athlete? What about the athlete? Anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. According to the rules. Now, I would say that rules generally are not seen in a very positive light these days. We live in a very liberal age when self-determination is widely encouraged and applauded, and any sort of imposition of extra rules is resisted and mocked. But rules are necessary. They keep our roads moving. They enable learning in the classroom. They keep us from anarchy in the streets. Now, God says we need rules to counter the inherent self-centeredness in our hearts. So Christians have a rule book. We have a rule book, a moral code, not one of our own, but given by God. Paul is saying to Timothy here, just as an athlete works hard within the rules of the game, so you are to work hard within the rule book of God. More than that, Paul is saying to Timothy as a minister of the gospel, stay faithful to this rule book in what you teach. Your reward from God depends on your faithfulness to God, not just in how you live, but also in how you lead others to live. So we've had the single-minded soldier and the faithful athlete. What about the farmer? I don't have a whole combine harvester, so we just have a trowel. What about the farmer? Well, the farmer's defining feature is that he works hard. Being a Christian leader or a teacher is hard work. Being a Christian in the face of suffering and persecution for your faith is hard work. In fact, being a Christian through life in a non-Christian world, with all its constant pulls on the self-centeredness in our hearts, all the draws away from God, that's hard work. But Paul assures us the reward will come. All three metaphors, the athlete, the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer, give a picture of committed, purposeful dedication. They are all long-term. You don't become an effective soldier overnight. You don't become a winning athlete overnight. You don't become a productive farmer overnight. They all take long-term commitment and strenuous effort. So you can see Paul's point. Suffering now may be your reality as a follower of Jesus, but be strong and endure. Now, I wonder how that sits with us. We don't face the same dangers for our faith as first century Christians. But I wonder if we embrace faith in Jesus with that view to the long term, with the committed, purposeful, long-term dedication that Paul is encouraging. Now, I ask that because I think we're wired, perhaps even more in today's world, for the shortcut and for the short term. You know, I go to work for 5 days and I look forward to the weekend. For those of you who are teachers or students, you go to work for a term and you have your break, your holiday at the end of each term. We expect our period of rest to come very soon after our labour. We expect a quick payback on our investments. But there are far more words in the Bible promising pain, suffering, persecution in this life for the Christian than immediate feasts and celebrations. The reward is promised, but it comes later in the presence of Jesus rather than right now. And I don't think we're naturally wired for that kind of perspective. I don't think our culture encourages that kind of perspective. Just as a simple illustration, this is Weavers Fields, the park just next door. There are shortcuts all across Weavers Fields. The designers of the park have put in the paths, but how often do people find the shortcut? And I think that it is just a simple picture of life. We're always looking for the shortcut to whatever our goal may be. Paul says there are no shortcuts in the Christian faith. You can't jump to the love of God and miss out the sacrifice of Jesus. You can't have Jesus as a good role model and miss his call to surrender everything to follow him. Jesus says to his followers to pick up their cross and follow him, surrendering everything, surrendering their will, surrendering all that they are in this life to gain eternal life with him. As many Christian teachers have said over the years, no cross, no crown. No soldier, athlete, or farmer expects results without dedication, wholehearted, single-minded commitment, and lots of effort. So be strong and endure, and the reward will come. Now, there's an echo to this message, as Paul also wants to encourage Timothy in his ministry in the gospel. Paul's call to Timothy is to be strong for the truth, to ensure the faithful continuation of the good news of Jesus. Remember and entrust. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. In those 10 words, we have the heart of the gospel. Jesus is the Christ, the promised Saviour. He is raised from the dead, never to die again. He has conquered death. This is the supernatural. It's Jesus' divinity. But he's descended from David, and he's the final king over all. And in that, we have his earthly heritage, his humanity. We also see his authority over things. So these are the facts on which the gospel rests. Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. Now, at the time, they were being denied by various heresies. And still today, they're denied by those who drift away from the truth to something maybe more intellectually attractive or just socially appealing. Paul says, remember, don't forget, don't compromise. Keep to this truth. He knows that in every age, there will be temptation to compromise and drift away. Maybe to say the resurrection never really happened. Maybe to say Jesus never really died on the cross. We saw in the passage last week, Paul says, what you learned from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching. The gospel is fact. The gospel is the truth. So however tempting it may be, don't change it or compromise it. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. But then you need to pass it on. Now, does anyone know what is happening on Tuesday this week? Any thoughts on what might be happening on Tuesday this week? Here's a little clue. So the Olympic flame will be lit in Athens this week, or Mount Olympus, wherever they do it. And then from then, it will travel, apparently, to France in May, and it will go on its tour around all the regions and whatever you call them, areas of France, until it finally arrives in Paris at the time of the Olympics. Now, like the Olympic torch, one person can't carry the Olympic torch around the whole of France. It has to be passed on. The gospel truth is the same. One person is not going to share it with the whole world through all time. It has to be passed on. So Paul says, entrust the gospel truth to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. There are many things that can make people unreliable: ambition, greed, laziness, and so on. Paul says to find laborers who are reliable and who will be your fellow soldiers, athletes, and farmers, people who will endure for the faith, and urge them to carry it on. Entrust this most precious treasure of truth to reliable people who will stand firm on it and maintain it, so that more and more can hear it and be saved. Because that's the purpose. Being strong and enduring can sound very defensive. It can sound like you just need to kind of bunker down and withstand the onslaught. But that's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying endure for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So this is the goal, to see God's kingdom grow, to enable people to obtain salvation and eternal life with Jesus. This is purposeful, active endurance. Just like the military endurance, the athletic endurance, or the hard-working farmer, there is a purpose to the labor. Now, just as an aside, you might ask the question, why we need to labor for the elect if God has already elected them? I think the simple truth of that is that the elect obtain salvation in Christ, not apart from the preaching of Christ, not apart from the truth of the gospel, but by means of it. So the way to salvation for God's chosen people is through hearing, receiving, and responding in faith to the truth of Jesus. Now, at the end of our passage today, Paul finishes with a little poem or an early Christian song to reinforce his point. He's saying it's all in our hands. We can surrender all to Christ and endure in service to him, and we will live with him in glory. Or we can slip away, deny him, and be denied by him. So what are you investing in? Now, this is a picture of Robert Forstemann, a famous German cyclist. Anyone heard of him? Looking around at the cyclists, one or two nods. So which part of his body do you think he's been investing in? What you invest in grows. Well, what you neglect weakens and dies. So what are we investing in individually and collectively? If you're a faithful servant of the gospel, maybe in faith you're sticking steadfastly to the truth, and that's good. But who are you entrusting it to? Who are you entrusting it to? Who are you mentoring or coaching in the truth of the gospel to carry it to the next generation so that more may hear and be saved? As a community, are we more bothered about leaving a legacy in our building or in our physical assets? Or are we concerned about the continuity of the truth of the gospel? Now, that doesn't have to be an either-or, but I hope that one is far more prized than the other. It is so easy for the church, just like for us individually, to get caught up in ourselves, to get caught up in the bureaucracy, the worldly entanglements, maybe even in our good humanitarian activity. But our purpose as the people of God, above all things, is to enable those God has called to obtain salvation in Christ Jesus. So Paul says, reflect on this. Work out what it is that hinders you in that task. Invest in what really matters. So let's remember Jesus Christ, our Saviour, God and man, King of all, because this is the good news entrusted to Paul. It's what we sing about, it's what we celebrate. It was passed to Timothy, it was passed through the generations, and it reached us. This is treasure, and it has been entrusted to us for us to pass on. Now, I don't know what dangers you faced as a follower of Jesus or what any of us might face in the future, but I do know that the pull to compromise is as strong today as ever. So together, let's encourage each other to be single-minded soldiers, faithful athletes, and hard-working farmers, strong in the grace of God in the face of that challenge. May we stand firm on the truth and invest in what really matters. May our labor for the gospel bring some to salvation and preserve the truth for the generations to come. Amen.